Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Bill, in UFOs in the White House, you've got great chapters that I had no idea that some of these presidents had UFO incidents or encounters. Abe Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt. We jump now, though, to the World War II era, because that's when things really get interesting. You know, we start developing the Manhattan Project. That research into atomic energy attracts the attention of something out there, something that seems to be an intelligence of some sort. And we have some Foo Fighter incidents and then brief encounters with what we suspect is advanced Nazi technology. And things really start get interesting in that era. You even write about Eleanor Roosevelt having an interest in UFOs because the stories were floating around the White House back then.
That's true. One of the things that I believe happened is I believe that we are watched very carefully by ETs. I believe ETs are living here on this planet. In fact, when we did UFO Hunters, maybe we didn't find them, but they certainly found us. And we would get these emissaries from them saying how they live here, how they work here, that they're a part of us and a part of our society. As a part of our society, assume just for a second, just suspend disbelief. Assume we are a colony, just like North America was a colony of the British. Assume this planet is a colony of another culture. And how they got here is a whole other story, but assume we are a colony. They've been here for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. In fact, they were here in the civilization prior to our civilization, the one that was destroyed by the Great Flood. Assume that what they're doing is they are trying to preserve this colony the way the British tried to preserve this, our colony, against the indigenous peoples. So assume they're trying to preserve this colony. What are they preserving it against? Well, they're preserving it against climate change, for one. They're preserving it against the technology that could destroy the planet also. So that all these stories about how UFOs suddenly appear at times of crisis also apply to 1940, to the 1940s and World War II. Assume for a second that the most advanced technological nation on the planet circa 1941 was Nazi Germany. and they're contacted by UFOs. There's the Black Forest UFO. There were other UFOs. And the Germans begin to reverse engineer some of this technology. Foo Fighters, for example, are those types of technology, those orbs. The other UFOs, the Messerschmitt jet fighters, partly were a reverse engineering of that technology. But Hitler believed the Germans were superior and refused to develop it. That's why it came so late in the war. But the other thing that really concerned them was the development of nuclear fission. Because nuclear fission had the possibility, and nuclear fusion, of course, had the possibility of destroying life on this planet once and for all. So they intervened. They monitored our sites. They made sure that we weren't doing anything too crazy. And became more and more concerned after we dropped those two bombs on Japan. So Roosevelt knew about this. He was briefed. Of course, Eleanor Roosevelt was briefed because FDR told her about it. And much of his administration was briefed. And so was Harry Truman.
Of course, Truman is president in 1947 when Roswell, when things really hit the fan. What is your information about what he knew? Was he informed immediately, do you think? If so, who told him and what was he told?
He was informed within seconds. He was informed by the Army Air Force, General Roger Ramey, that something had crashed in Roswell that was not conventional technology. And we know this because when Ramey asked, was at Roswell, was at the base, he explained there were two crashes. One 75 miles out of Roswell, one 40 miles out of Roswell. And he wanted all the Roswell material shipped to Fort Worth. And it was at Fort Worth where Jesse Marcel, the base intelligence officer of the 509th, was posing with the material that Ramey told him to go inside and look for material and changed all that UFO material to a radar balloon. When Ramey came back, he was made to pose with a radar balloon. Years later, Ramey revealed that it was Washington, D.C. that told him absolutely no revelation about UFOs. And in fact, 5 years later, in 1952, after UFOs appeared over Washington in those echelon formations, it was Roger Ramey who said he had a great crisis of conscience. But he told the head of Air Force Intelligence at that time, whatever you do, you cannot say UFOs, even though a flying saucer had crashed in Braxton County, Virginia, and had to be relaunched by the UFOs themselves. They denied the whole thing.
We know that this recent Arrow report says that all these stories about crash saucers and reverse engineering programs hidden in defense contractors, it all stems back to the same religious zealots who believe in UFOs as if it's a religion. And that, you know, Roswell is perfectly explained. I guess it is, if you believe the U.S. Air Force, which has changed its story multiple times. Oh, yeah, we've totally explained this thing. Then they have a new version. The reverse engineering story and UFO crash story did not come from UFO zealots. It came from the U.S. military. They put out the release that said, there's a saucer and we've got one, right?
That's true. What happened was at very first, moments after the crashes, the Army Air Force was concerned that what had actually crashed at Roswell was a Japanese Fugu, a balloon bomb. During World War II, what the Japanese military did was they launched balloon bombs loaded with anthrax to explode over American cities that were carried by the west wind to land on American cities and explode. What the American war effort mandated was that we couldn't talk about these fire balloons, couldn't talk about them for two reasons. One, we didn't want to panic the American public that we were being bombed on the West Coast by Japanese balloons. That's one. Two, we didn't want the news reports to be artillery spotters for the Japanese, saying how successful they were landing balloons. They thought the Roswell balloon, that the Roswell crash was just that, a Japanese fire balloon. That's why they jumped on it the way they did. When they realized it wasn't a Japanese fire balloon, and that there were actually two crashes, not one, and that there were live creatures from one of those crashes, that's when the wall of silence came down. But they couldn't stop the folks who were actually at the site, like Sheriff George Wilcox, like Frankie Rowe, like a lot of other people who were at the site who saw what was going on. And in fact, in UFO magazine years ago, we published this story. George Wilcox was the Chavez County Sheriff. He's the one that got a bunch of Roswell debris from Billy Brazo and put it in the Chavez County jail. His wife, Inez Wilcox, was writing a journal about her years as the first lady of Chavez County. She saw herself as Eleanor Roosevelt feeding all these poor drunks breakfasts. She tells the story of how Brazo comes in, gives this box of material to George Wilcox. He puts it in a jail cell, calls the army. The army comes down. Sheridan Cavett comes down himself, Captain Cavett, head of Army Intelligence, CIC, comes down. And he takes the material and brings it back to the base. And that led Jesse Marcel to have a unit go out to the base and to go out to the debris field, that ranch, and scrub that site.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The idea that Jesse Marcel, the intelligence officer for the only atomic bomb wing in the world, wouldn't recognize a weather balloon that had crashed on a ranch is preposterous. The idea that Walter Haught, the lieutenant who wrote the release that said we've recovered this crashed disc and then had to change it the next day, you know, before he died, of course, he gave a sworn statement, the effect that I lied. You know, I was ordered to lie. It really, the wreckage that was shown to the reporters isn't the same stuff, and he saw bodies. DuBose, I think, was another of the witnesses, an officer who substantiated the story that this stuff was squirreled away and stashed and taken off to Wright-Patterson. These guys were really solid people who about it years later.
Yeah, in fact, Walter Hout told me that he regarded Bill Blanchard, his commanding officer at the 509th, as his big brother, that he would drive to Washington, he would drive to Chicago for Braswell's wife, do all these things. So he said that he's standing in Hangar 82 at the Roswell base, and he's looking at this craft on a flatbed. He sees the whole craft. He was at the debris field. He sees his whole craft on a flatbed, and he says that Braswell points to a stretcher where a figure of a four-foot humanoid creature was lying and puts his hand at 4 feet high and nods at Bill Braswell. And Bill Braswell, and he nods at Walter Hout. And Hout knows at that moment that he's part of this cover-up, that he will cover up for his boss, Bill Blanchard. And in fact, years later, as Braswell, as Blanchard is moving up the ranks of the Air Force, because the services have now split, Blanchard says to Walter Hout, "We really dodged a big one on that one." And that was how he put the cap on that story.
You mentioned that Harry Truman had made some startlingly accurate, truthful statements about UFOs here and there. But in his administration, I mean, the hammer came down. The wall of secrecy descended. And, I guess it's a coincidence that 1947 is also when the National Security Act was passed. The CIA was created. The U.S. Air Force was created. All this stuff happened. And suddenly all this stuff went into the black world and where it's remained.
That's right. I mean, what happened was that crash at Roswell was seminal for American history. It really, we can minimize it. Folks can minimize it all they want to, call it a hoax, call it a mistake. But it really was seminal. It was after that there was the National Security Act. It was after that the CIA was created. It was after that all this reverse engineering started. That was a turning point in American history when the United States administration, when the federal administration, when Truman realized not just that we weren't alone, we knew that, but what he then realized was that they were interfering in our progress. That was an important step.
So why go dark on that? Why keep it a secret? Truman is a plain spoken guy. Why wouldn't he just tell everybody about it?
He did.
But I mean, why? You know, I guess he did say it, but it didn't seem to catch on. So at some point, he must have gone along with this. What would they have told him to make him go along with it?
What happened was, in his administration, there were a group of people. They'd become the Jason Scholars of the Eisenhower administration. Among them was Zbigniew Brzezinski, Mika Brzezinski's father on The Morning Joe. What they did was they formed a study group called MJ-12. They formed a study group that they knew that it was 1947, Truman was going to run again in 48, but they knew that they had to prepare for the administration, not specifically for Eisenhower, because he hadn't declared his intention to run, but they prepared for the administration a study group of what these creatures were, what this technology was, and what we had to learn from them. And that was what MJ-12 did. And they prepared these briefing documents, which folks can read on the internet, they're all there, about who these creatures were, where they're from, and why they're interacting with us. So therefore, it's no secret that in the summer of 1952, the last year of the Truman administration, the UFOs appeared over Washington, D.C. on two weekends in July, showing themselves to Eisenhower, who was declaring his intention to run. And then, in 1952, in 1953 and 54, Eisenhower was briefed on UFOs, and he had that meeting at Muroc with the ETs in which they agreed on an open skies agreement. The first agreement that he proposed to Khrushchev after Khrushchev, after the Soviets shot down our U-2.
So you think that meeting really did happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that Eisenhower had seen UFOs in Washington in 52. He'd seen UFOs come out of the water in Operation Main Brace in the North Sea when he was the head of NATO, it was NATO's first exercise. And Eisenhower was basically our first UFO president to begin amalgamating this technology into American society.
I would think of all U.S. presidents that Ike would have been the most informed. Supreme Allied Commander, he would have had information from the World War II era, and then as president, that he would be interested. And then, of course, we know what his farewell address was. Beware of the military-industrial complex. And I wonder how much the UFO experience and information that he gathered played a part in his declaration of that.
Well, remember, it was under Eisenhower that the Pentagon, that the Army, started developing plans for a fortified moon base. Fortified base on the lunar surface. And this wasn't just a contingent of astronauts living on the surface. This was an entirely new... Folks can read this, by the way, on the internet, Project Horizon. It's all there. This was, and I also printed it in the back of Day After Roswell, they proposed an entirely new military command composed of artillery, composed of the missile command, composed of logistics, composed of the Air Force, an entirely new command specifically to fortify the moon against any Soviet attempt to do the same thing.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox